With Squarespace, you can do more than just build a website. You can build a business. Squarespace helps restaurants and hotels showcase signature offerings and experiences. And with Squarespace, consultants and photographers can create invoices to collect well-earned payments. You can even send email newsletters to keep in touch with your loyal customers. Done. So grow your business at squarespace.com. Get started with offer code MAKEITREAL for 10% off your website or domain. Nothing wrong with the pussy. Nothing wrong with the pussy.
But LeBron traded to Philly, and it sounds like the only reason why he chose there is because he truly believes that that core, that rotation in franchise gives him the best shot of winning another ring. There's really no other reason. No disrespect to Philly. I mean, LeBron is the one, if anything, disrespecting it by... It came out that he's actually just going to be commuting from New York via helicopter, which is a mode of transportation I'm quite vehemently against. Not even just the you know, one-to-one, like the Kobe history, but just like in general, like helicopters have had some really bad spills. And even locally here, you know, since I've been here, there's been helicopters that have crashed in the Hudson River, hit buildings. I am privy to where LeBron is living in the city. And I do know that that residence actually has a helipad on the roof. And I can also share that the Philadelphia 76ers worked out a deal with that specific building to let LeBron fly to and from from the roof of his own building. Otherwise, the way it works here, if you're not familiar with this, the helicopter system here, there's a company called Blade that, if you are transporting by helicopter, they have like a helipad on the west side, on like over by the Chelsea Piers. So most people that are, you know, commuting in and out of the city or to the Hamptons, take those helicopters. But LeBron, again, cut the 76ers cut a deal with the building that he's living in, that has a helipad on its roof, and he will be going to and from Philadelphia. Now, I don't think that they're going to win the East. I don't think that they really have a chance. Not that I don't think they have a chance. I think VJ Edgecombe's performance is going to be like the determining factor. I have little faith in Joel Embiid to stay healthy. So it's really going to come down to that young core. And is there enough basketball for all those guys to get the touches that they're going to want? Jaylen Brown clearly wants to be the front man, but that currently is outside of Joel in the guard position. That's Maxie's team, and Maxie's a hooper. Like, that dude's a baller, and he deserves to have the ball in his hands. VJ's in his second year. He's going to want to, you know, prove himself, get that max out of that rookie contract. So it's going to be a really interesting dynamic. I can see, like, the politics of that team are fragile at the moment, and I'm curious to see how they bring it together. In regards to LeBron traveling to and from the city, I'm curious, like, is he making practices? Is this just a routine he's doing for games? Like, that's a lot of, you know, back and forths on the LeBron sequence. He was going to come to New York until we won. And then so was Giannis was also wanted to do New York as well. So it's funny that the both LeBron and Giannis have ended up on their backup plan Bs to what they initially wanted, which was both ending up in New York. What else has been happening this week? J. Cole's in New York this week. I'm very excited to see my friends and hang. That's gonna be really fun. He's doing so many shows here. I don't know if I'll go to all of them, but I'll definitely, you know, attend quite a few. It's always a good time with that crew here. What else is going on? Give me some other stuff. The only thing on my mind right now is this concerts, and then LeBron. I don't really want to go into politics right now. I saw, obviously, Trump officially announced he wants to run again. He plans to run again. in the next election cycle. To no surprise, I mean, they've been like Easter egging that for a very long time since the beginning. So for him to announce it makes perfect sense. Oh, dude, yeah. Oh, yeah, hold on. Wait, I'll get to this question first. Thank you, Keith. Keith said, what's your favorite East Coast city? Not Miami. I fucking can't stand Miami. That honestly wouldn't even be my fucking answer. I cannot stand the people of Miami. I don't care for like the culture. And it's when I say the culture, I'm not talking about like the authentic culture of Miami. I think like the Cuban culture and the Latin American culture is incredible. I'm speaking more to, as someone in my position, like a single man, like the nightlife culture, like the scene-y culture. I'm not a club person. I fucking hate clubs. I'm not like a very big fan. I'm not a fan at all of like BBLs, lip injections, like all that shit. Like just the aesthetic of women down there is just not for me. I'm much more attracted to just natural looking people. And I don't like care about stunt culture, like the bottles, the sparklers, the, you know, the gotta buy the tomahawk steak with the gold. It's all like the corny shit that just like, it's just really corny. It's just the extent of like peacocking that I don't care for. And I'm not to say that that doesn't exist in New York, but it's just the, like the main subset of like nightlife culture in Miami. So that being said, now Miami wouldn't be my answer. What is my favorite East Coast city? How big of cities are we talking here though? Because I can get real niche as a native East Coaster. What city do I actually fuck with that's not just New York? Not Florida. I'm not a Southern person. The South doesn't do it for me. I can't do the South. Maybe just from the ones I'm looking at now, maybe just Philly. Fuck Boston. Even though I like the historical elements of Boston, I just don't care for the people in Boston and the culture of Boston. I don't know. I guess maybe Philly. What was else?
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Oh, yeah, Hunter Biden. Him in that Nick Fuentes interview, for those that don't know, News Channel 5 did a sit-down interview, and Andrew's great. He moderated this interview that was just between, it was really Hunter Biden interviewing Nick Fuentes. It's great journalism. I love Hunter Biden. Honestly, he needs to be, I don't think he cares to get active politically in an official capacity, but the role that he's playing in the version of himself that he's showing the world is unbelievable. Big fan of his. He's really smart. And in this sit down, in this interview, you can see him sitting, you know, directly across from somebody that's very, you know, combative and racist and bigoted and sexist and homophobic. And Hunter Biden doesn't attack him at all. He really just warms up the conversation and doesn't bullshit him either. He's not like, you know, cutting him slack. He's very direct, but they're also candid with each other. You know, I think there's like this level playing ground of like Hunter Biden's faults are so public, as are Nick Fuentes's faults. And they share that in common, even though what they've done or said is very different. So I think they have like that bond of just like being casted and, you know, being looked at as an archetype of this specific movement or this type of person. So I think it's freeing to be around somebody like that, because there's a level of understanding that lets you just speak more freely and comfortable, because so much of who you are has been perceived by the media and the people that are speaking about you nonstop. But I'm a big fan of Hunter Biden. His one-on-one interview with Andrew Callahan was also incredible. I believe it was two parts, loved both of them. He's really cool. Like I just, it's a shame that in this state of American politics, especially more so within the Democratic Party, we don't give people grace to have a bad history and make mistakes, and we don't give them a path to redemption, or we don't welcome them back into the good graces of the political party. Because if you have one fault, then that defines who you are. There's no redemption arc in the Democratic Party, which is really sad, because Hunter Biden would be a great person to have around and have somebody campaign for you and have somebody in your corner. But if I'm him, I'm not sticking up or supporting any of these fucking assholes. I'm just going to continue to do what he's doing, which is doing these awesome interviews and also being an amazing person on Twitter. He's fucking hilarious on Twitter. He's the type of honesty that we need, and the perfect version of somebody that lived a privileged life, but a really struggled life. And, you know, what a great person to have as the mouthpiece for addiction and struggle. Someone that is of that elite class status, someone that is as open and articulate as he is to just cut through the bullshit and give it to you straight. So I really fuck with Hunter for that.
With Squarespace, you can do more than just build a website. You can build a business. Squarespace helps restaurants and hotels showcase signature offerings and experiences. And with Squarespace, consultants and photographers can create invoices to collect well-earned payments. You can even send email newsletters to keep in touch with your loyal customers. Done. So grow your business at squarespace.com. Get started with offer code MAKEITREAL for 10% off your website or domain.
Let's see. 215 Hefe, how are you feeling, bro? Like, how is your mentals? Sorry, this is random. I'm always down for a mental health check. I will say this has been what year hasn't been, but it's been a roller coaster year of sorts. I will say in the last, like 4 or 5 months, things have been, I think I'm on like the upswing of like what has been a steady trajectory downswing, but I just have to have some things connect for me to just feel better, like to feel more fulfilled. But I think I'm motivated more so now than I was, say, a couple months ago, to take charge of those things and be more proactive, which is good. I've been traveling a lot this year, which is a blessing, and I've been having a good time. But I think a lot of that traveling is coming from me escaping what I currently don't have in New York, if that makes sense. It's like, let me fill up my cup culturally and experience new cities, new people, new cuisine, where my foundation at home wasn't as stable. It's easier to run. But I felt like a much better version of myself during those trips. I think that's the latest on my mental status. I'm back. I feel like I always speak about, I'm back working out again, which has really helped. There was a time where I took a break. But now I'm back, and that's really changed my, it's amazing how much that helps me mentally. I didn't see Vlad's interview with Hunter. I was unaware. Look, man, I'm binge watching all Hunter content. I'm in on it. So I will check that out. Speaking of content, I finally got to Steve Lacy's album. It's great. Big fan. Let me actually pull up the track list here, because there's a few records on there. I think I like the first half more. The opening, Is It Cool with Sis, is fantastic. I love the feeling. I'm not going to lie, the Pure Color record with Erykah Badu, I didn't care for that. I didn't like that one as much. Show You Me was good. Doom, I really enjoyed. And Nothing Is Good. And then Love, Sex, Drug Bomb, I wasn't crazy about. I liked Nice Shoes, In Your World a lot. And then the final record's okay. But that's, for 10 songs, that's like, you know, what I like about 7 of them, which is awesome. Yeah, I've been listening to it a lot. One of my favorite bands' album came out about a month ago. I've been listening to that a lot, The Strokes. It's called Reality Awaits. My favorite song on this album is Dine and Dash, the second song. It's unbelievable. Big fan of The Strokes, which does have a pause-worthy name. But if you're not familiar, you should check them out. They're a very good band. Any advice? Oh, Cindy, congrats on the child. I'm assuming you're talking about yourself. She is asking, any advice for a new parent of a biracial child? What to avoid and what to pay attention to? That is an amazing question. That's tough because like that's like an everyday through therapy. Like when I was talking to my therapist a lot about this stuff, like identity crisis. Because in my situation, I was never black enough. And I obviously wasn't white. Black enough, meaning like I went to, you know, a big public school. It was very rough, diverse crowd. But my, you know, identity, my voice, how I sound and look, my hair was never, you know, it just, there was always something different about me that just didn't fit in with either crowd. So I always felt like I was jockeying personalities between, you know, if I'm on the basketball court versus me, you know, in an academic setting. And I don't think I got comfortable baseline with like who I was in that regard until shit, probably like my senior year of college. But for a child, I would just say, to give grace to your kid and give comfort. Like I've seen a lot of biracial kids have parents that push them into one direction over the other.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
You know, like you don't talk like that. You're, you know, black or something like that, where it's like the influence from the parent can be heavy handed and the kid, your son or daughter, can then question their identity and who they think they're developing to be when in fact mom or dad is telling them they need to be otherwise. And that can be confusing. I think speaking from experience, like I looked to my parents to help me shape that. My parents are great. They never pushed me in one direction or the other, but it is like it's a unique space that even if you do have supportive parents, it still is something that they can't relate to unless you yourself are biracial or your, you know, your spouse is biracial. And it truly is something that you have to figure out on your own to an extent, but don't limit their curiosities. Don't limit give them answers on, you know, who their family is and what their history is. I'll say, like, from my experience, my mom came from a big family. My dad didn't have a family really, so growing up I was thrown so much more into my Lebanese side of the family, holidays, you know, church, cultures, customs, things of that nature. And that's just what I got used to, because that's what became known as our family dynamic. And I've always wondered, like, well, what I wish I knew more about my dad's side in that regard. Like, what is the history or the, you know, who are these cousins or extended family that I don't really know? And I'm always curious, like, if I had been more aware of that or known these people, would that shape who who I am differently because I would see more of myself in them or identify more with them. Who's to say? I think like I've let my interest in my career shape a lot of who I've become as a person, and my curiosities with authors, directors, and artists, musicians, painters, sculptors. Like, I think I've just, because I'm so not one, I'm so not like binary, I am like, okay, well, let me just cherry pick things from people that I admire, and, you know, create this version of myself that I'm happy with. It's tough. It's, I don't know. I think the, like, it sounds so like, woe is me, but like the, I think the biracial struggle, I'll even put it in quotes, is really like laughed at or not seen as a serious thing. But there's, I really don't think there's a tougher place to be than in the middle, because no one knows, you know, who you are, what you're supposed to be. And I've always carried this weight of like, well, whoever I'm engaging with or speaking to or have this interview with has never met or come across somebody like me. So it's like on, I like, it's all, I don't know why I give myself this additional pressure of like, I have to be this, the best version of the people that I represent, just to prove that I'm a good person too. If that makes sense. It's really fucked up and exhausting, but you know, that's how I live my life. So Cindy said she's Haitian and Canadian. That's an interesting mix. Yeah. And then let's see here. We also have Marie said, like, I stopped caring. My mother was born in Panama. Fool said I was not black enough or Hispanic enough. Like, cool. So what do you, like, what do you expect from me? Like, I'm never enough. I mean, like, it's no secret. Like, my, you know, arc on even Rory and Maul's podcast is like, they, you know, laughing at my blackness when it's like, I'm fucking black, but you know, it's never enough. Which is like, haha, it's all fucking funny. It's like, you're lucky, you know, I can fucking take a lame joke or I have like thick skin, but it is stupid. It's like, what the fuck do you mean? Just cause by your definition, and it's purely off of like just skin tone, which is really whack. But, yeah, I think that's the deeper seated part of that is that's a wedge that was driven by slave masters in early American, in the, you know, the founding era of America, because if you could drive the black community against each other, it just helps and serves the white community. So you just put a premium on those that have, you know, lighter melanin, and have them, you know, hate darker skinned people, and then vice versa, have people that are darker hate people that have lighter skin, because it's easier to remain in power when you're driving both, mind you, we're both minority groups, being black and being mixed are two very just like minority groups, but it's better to drive those forces against each other than have the two of them unify, where they could then challenge in protest against the whites. But hey, simple people, whatever makes you feel good. Yeah, it's still, yeah, it's sad how like that stuff is so ingrained in the American psyche and DNA that it's still in 2026 is very like prevalent, but also just not discussed. Because it's been intentionally withheld from our curriculum in textbooks. Shout out Texas Instruments, those fucking assholes that were the architects of all of our school books when we were growing up in middle school and high school. They were the ones that shaped, that gave us the American history that we love and know now. By purposefully omitting the truth of the matter. But you know, thank God we have the access to, you know, the internet very powerful tool when used correctly. Yeah, it's not fun. I want a new, like, historically accurate television show. I it's such a throwback, but do you guys remember Lovecraft Country? It had wasn't Jonathan Majors in that? I think he was. And it had Jussie Smollett's sister in it too. She was a main character. It was like this weird sci-fi type show, but it intertwined historical events in Black history through the episodes throughout the series. It's pretty cool how they did it too. But it did get like very sci-fi and alien-y, which is usually not something I like, but I think they did a really good job of, but it ended up sadly getting canceled a while ago. This is years ago. This show's been off the air. What plant? This is I'll show you. So this is a Monstera. This one's growing like a weed. It's going really well. And then this is known as a ZZ plant, also growing really well. This is my favorite shirt. It has a big hole over here, if you've noticed. But yeah, these are two that I'm very proud of. This ZZ, when I got it, was so small, and it's now just, I mean, it's pouring over this whole corner, like in this chair. I love this plant so much. I mean, both of these are beautiful. They're beautiful together. Yeah, all my plants are, they're booming right now. Look at this guy. I'll show you this one. This is pretty fun. This one hangs off the shelf. I'll pull it real quick. Look how this one's dangling. Pretty sick. Yeah, so this is, and there's more growth in there on the top there. I mean, look at that. That's beautiful. This was tiny. It was probably like this big when I got it, like just these little coils here. It's called a coin plant. But yeah, this guy is really, with the shelf, it's really able to like hang down and grow. I actually have to water them. I'll water them tomorrow morning. Snake plants are, they're the best. I have, I think I have five because I just keep propagating them. And, they're so easy to propagate. So I just keep, you know, all you really need to do is buy one and then you can just keep, you know, making new ones. And I can show you how to propagate those too. They're very easy. And they're natural air purifiers. So it's good. Like, you know, you're living in a city or wherever, it's just good to have clean air. Keep a few of those if you can in your bedroom, near where you sleep. It's nice to just have like a natural purifier in there. I'm a big, big fan of snake plants. I got one in my living room that way back there, that right there, that's a snake. And then its brother, the other one of that, is in my bedroom. And then there's three more in my bedroom. Yeah, they're fun. Yeah, here, I'll actually show you right now. I'll grab the snake so you can see how to propagate it. All right. Because it is really easy. So you take what's known as like the mother, so in my case, that big one, the healthy one, you take a healthy stalk. Usually you need to take an aged one. So one that has like yellow on the outsides, like this yellow, like it has to look healthy, like it's been aged. You don't want to take something that's like a lighter green like this, because that's a young stalk, right? What you do is you cut it. So you cut it at this V angle. So you have these like these marks or V like that. You cut it from the plant and then you cut that also again at another V. And there's two ways to propagate. You can do soil propagation, which I believe I did for this one, or, you know, classic one that's more like popular and cool to see is the water propagation. But what you do is with the mother thing, you let this dry, you keep it somewhere sterile, like safe, just like wrap it in a paper towel, let it like air dry for like 2 days. And then once this like gets hardened on the top and the bottom, you can either bury it in soil, not bury it, but like, you know, plant it in soil, like I did with this one. And then how it works is this grows roots and then all of this literally all of this is from just that piece here. And I have currently three of these in my room, same process. Two of them are soil propagations. One is water. The soils, I always say the less sexy version of propagating because you don't see the roots come in because obviously it's in this, but for soil, it's a little more labor because you have to change the water more often, but it is nice too. You get to see the roots come in like the mason jar or whatever you have the plant in. But it's fun. And I always say every time I do this, I'm going to gift these to my friends. And then I always just end up keeping these fucking things. That's why I have so many of these snake plants right now. But they are great. They're probably my favorite. It was so cool walking around Mexico City. They had snake plants were wild there everywhere. So were like monsteras. It was really cool to see the plants that I keep in my apartment, just like in nature. If you do have like kids or like a niece or nephew, whatever, it's a fun activity to do with like a kid. I remember like doing plant stuff or gardening a bit when I was younger. And it's just like, you know, it's fun. You're doing something and then you can come back to it a week or two later. And you're like, oh, this thing that I did, that I made happen grew. It's just a nice thing to see too. Plants certainly do help with depression. Tell me, you need some color in your apartment. There's this like effort to like whitewash and like modern, what do they call it? What's like the modern wash? Living spaces and shared spaces where it's like just like rough edges and just like grayscale and very just like boring and like drab and like the like everything looks so uniform but in like a shitty way, not in a Parisian way. I made an effort in my apartment outside of my plant hobby is to buy colorful accent pieces. So if I need like a nightstand or if I need a shelf or a bookshelf or, you know, a little trinket or something, I need color pops. Color is good to have around in your life. It softens the room. It brightens things up. And it just makes things better. I'm telling you, it's like the little shit that you would ignore. Like I just bought new towels. This is how much I've been thinking about this stuff. Like, you know, me a few years ago, I just bought like, you know, black or gray or white towel, whatever, just keep it simple. I bought like these like clay orange towels that have like this like accent blue, like embroidery in them. But that's like how much I've been thinking about this stuff. I wish, to be honest, that started working itself more into manifesting more into my wardrobe, but sadly, I still wear like mostly just black, gray. I can't snap out of that. I think I'm colorblind too. I was wearing a shirt the other day I thought was gray and I was told it was sage. Didn't think it was sage at all, but whatever. But yeah, brighten up your living spaces. I gotta start growing fruit and things like that. I'm simple. I keep it just to plants, but fruit, I mean, I eat so much fruit. I don't know what's been going on. I've been on a cherry kick lately. I've been buying cherries like crazy, and I'm purposefully not looking at news articles because I'm sure there's something wrong with cherries right now, and I just don't care. I'm in a fucking cherries mood, so I've just been eating a bunch of them. I bought strawberries and blueberries today. Blueberries are so hit or miss, man. Like, it's sad. I want to love blueberries, but they really don't give a fuck about what they put in those packages. They're all just like soggy and just like mid. I keep taking risks and buying these things, and it's just not worth it. Like, it's not quality. Do you grow when you cut off the top of the pineapple? I've seen that. Like, this is stuff that I've looked into before, like on YouTube tutorials or just like, you know, a how to, and I just haven't done it. Even with like garlic is the easiest thing to grow. Garlic grows like a weed, and one clove can like harvest an insane amount, yield an insane amount of garlic. A friend of mine back home growing up, his father used to do that with, they're Italian, and he would literally just bought one piece of garlic and had a garlic, section of his garden for like, you know, 30 years. Garlic's easy. Obviously herbs are easy as well. But no, I would love to grow like a real fruit, like a fruit thing in my apartment. Yeah. Tomatoes are tough. That's the other thing. Like in the city, I'd want to do like, you know, what would be best? Like, I do this on my fire escape. Like, that's the other thing. It's like, I'm in a pretty busy neighborhood, and the thought of like my fruit or vegetables being exposed to, car exhaust or, you know, city bus exhaust, just like, you know, coming up through the air. It's just, that's honestly been the biggest deterrent for me doing it is, the carbon emissions from the traffic in my neighborhood. All right, gang. I think I'm gonna call it, but we'll be back on. I'm staying true to this. I like these lives more. These are more fun for me, and I'm hoping they're more fun for you as well. But I appreciate everybody. Yeah, it is a free sauna, exactly. I appreciate everybody that's in here right now. I'm gonna do some editing and then hit the hay. I hope everybody has a great night. And thank you again for tuning in. All right, gang. Peace. Nothing wrong with the pussy. Nothing wrong with the pussy. Nothing
wrong with the pussy. You ever heard the story of Harry? He was a legend around here. Until one afternoon, he left and never came back. Turns out, Harry went and made himself a website using Squarespace. Used Squarespace domains to buy artisanseatcushions.com. And he built a beautiful site with an online store to sell his artisan seat cushions. Now Harry's sitting on a fortune. And if our Harry can do it, anyone can. Build your business at squarespace.com. Use offer code EVERYTHING for 10% off your website or domain.